This is a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk. Number 395.
You're listening to the 2015 TGO Challenge, sponsored by the Great Outdoors magazine, Handbag Footwear and Fial Raven. Part 7.
So this is it, the beginning of the last climb of this year's challenge. We've all set off from the camping area where there's still a handful of tents still at the bottom, but we've eaten as much as possible to make the load as light as possible, and we nip up over Mount Keen and down to the Tarfside, no doubt for some refreshments consisting of jacket potatoes, bank sandwiches and mugs of tea, and occasional cans of beer, I think they are on offer as well. Chilly night, good frost last night, definitely sub-zero, but thankfully a dry start this morning. Sunshine came bursting through the valley at around 5 o'clock, which was nice, and as we know, make our way up the track. The top of Mount Keen is clear, which obviously had a smattering of snow over the last 12 hours, or additional snow. But this is a nice track, this. About 560 metres to climb. I seem to remember it only takes around an hour actually to get to the top. I should imagine though, it'll be as windy as it was the last time we did it 2 years ago when we get there, and the snow up there just had a little bit of extra interest. How's everybody feeling then on our last climb?
I'll tell you when we get to the top.
Rose?
At the moment, but I don't think I will be for long.
Yeah, it is very chilly this morning. Soon warm up this climb though.
Yeah.
Lee, last wild camp all over and done.
Yeah, and a great one too. Really lovely spot there.
It's a classic, isn't it, that place?
Yeah, one of my favourite camps. As you said, it's quite a chilly night. First real sub-zero night, I think. But I was okay, that one. There and to go.
Well, it's nice that it's a fresh start to a clear day, not raining like yesterday. Wasn't it miserable? 5 hours of rain last night?
It certainly poured down, didn't it?
Yeah.
We got in the tent at the right time.
Yeah, that was a good bit of timing.
Yes.
Well, we'll see how it goes. If I can, I'll try and perhaps do something at the top of Mount Keen. I dare say it'll be a bit on the windy side, but I'm definitely taking video clips anyway to put together for this year's review. Well done, Rose.
Well done, Bob.
This is the top of Mount Keen. Your last hill.
My last hill.
Mountain.
Munro,
even. And the weather's just coming in behind us as well, I notice. I seem to remember it was a bit windy the last time we came up here. Well done, mate.
Bloody hell.
Just move your poles to the side, please.
Thank you.
All right, turn
on.
Is it always windy up here?
Oh, God.
going over.
It's a bit breezy, isn't it?
9:40.
9:45.
What is it?
I think it's nine. It's either 9:35 or 9:45, isn't it?
It's a bit windy.
Well, we're on the top of Mount Keen. Did we make it up in the hour?
No.
No? Just over the hour. And just as we got to the top, snowstorm came through. Bit of wind. Wait till you see the video. It's pretty impressive. And that's just blown over now, and now we've got sunshine again.
Looks fantastic there.
Although the wind is still fairly high, so I'm just ducked out the wind while I do this. Change some batteries on my camera, and then we're heading down. And within 15, 20 minutes, it'll be all calm and beautiful again. That extra 1,000 feet does make a massive difference. You all right?
Yeah, cool. Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Steady walk up?
Yeah, it's just like stroll, Worcestershire Beacon.
Oh, yeah, just a stroll.
Just a stroll.
Right, let's change these batteries.
Hello, hello. Oh, sorry then. Oh, love a cup of tea, please. Yes, two teas, fantastic.
We made it down to Tarfside around, I think it was about 2 o'clock, wasn't it?
Maybe a bit later, 2:30.
Well, it's 4 o'clock now, and we've had time for a cup of tea and a couple of bacon sandwiches and a shower. So
that's true, maybe.
I think about 2 o'clockish. Mount Keen was, hopefully, I did record a piece, so hopefully it's come out, but Mount Keen was a rather bracing experience.
It was wild! No, it was brilliant, actually. Really good. It's not a bad path there, but it gets quite stony towards the top, and there was quite a lot of snow, so it was finding your footing on the rock.
Well, yeah, I think probably a better description was the snow that was up there was frozen solid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So the one side of the mountain was very, very slippy.
But they'd had snowfall on top of that.
And there was snowfall on top, certainly. But what was the challenge was the wind, gale force, enough to take you off your feet if you weren't careful. But as we hit the peak, which up until that point had just been windy, and obviously the snow underfoot, we turned round and we just hit by a snow squall, weren't we?
Yeah, I know, it came out of nowhere. And went quite quick too, but it was like, whoa, where did this come from?
Yeah, so that was a really bracing experience. So once again, I did take video clips, just managed, and it's all over the place, but it might give you an idea of just how wild it was, and can be, of course. But within, as I predicted, within, 15 minutes, half an hour, we were down out of it, and you wouldn't have believed me. Looked over your shoulder, that's where you were.
And it's a lovely path down, much easier, really.
Well, you've enjoyed that walk today, haven't you?
Yeah, no, it was really nice. It was a steady climb up, but worth it. Great last views of the highlands and, you know, the area we'd come from. Loch Nagar over on the one side and snow-covered and...
Down to Glen Tar, where we came from, that lovely camping spot. There were people following us as well who got caught in more weather, I understand.
And then down to Ladderbrook and Glenmark, and then through the Glenmark down. Went past the
Queen Victoria's Well.
Which isn't a well at all, it's actually a spring, but nevertheless it's quite an impressive little structure there on the landscape.
Looks like a very large crown made out of concrete, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then,
but it's a nice glen. Very pretty glen.
A plaque coming down, actually. Bobby...
MacDonald?
Donaldson. Axis, 2014. So I must... 2004. So I must look up whether it's somebody... And a Celtic knot on a polished piece of stone. So whether someone passed away there or there was an accident, I don't know. But I must Google that when I get home.
And then we made it down to Tarside with the usual warm welcome with the volunteers. The bacon sandwiches were free-flowing along with the tea, coffee and everything else.
nice scones.
And so we sort of topped up there. Yeah, it was, that's right, it was 1 o'clock, 2 o'clockish, because I looked at my watch at the time, it's lunchtime. Okay. And now we've wandered down to the sports field, which has changed slightly. They've sort of fenced certain areas off, which is probably makes sense. There's about 15 odd tents at the moment, but I expect to be more. Having said that, they were saying they had well over 45 people last night come through the hostel. So for meals and staying overnight and whatever. So maybe a lot of people have finished slightly earlier because either of bad weather or they're ahead of themselves because of the good weather. I'm not too sure, really. So it'll be interesting to see if we have that many here tonight.
I can imagine some people would have pushed on with that heavy rain yesterday afternoon, though.
I think that's what's caused it.
I think that's probably the reason.
Yeah. So it'll be venison stew tonight, and then over to the retreat, not to the retreat, over to the Mason's Arms for some beers and stories. And then at some stage I might actually have a chance to speak to people, but everybody's disappeared. So that is pretty well the situation at the moment. But I want to record a piece just in case we miss the chance. And it's a very peaceful end to the day, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it was great being able to put the tent up in the dry, leisurely, as opposed to, quick, it's coming. Yeah, very good.
The Great Outdoors Challenge is an annual self-supported walking event across the Highlands of Scotland, West Coast to East Coast. First held in 1980, it's a non-competitive test of backcountry skills, navigation and stamina. The challenge is held every May and is sponsored by The Great Outdoors, The Walkers magazine and supported by specialist outdoor footwear company Hanvag in association with Fjällräven. Every challenger starts their hike by signing out from one of around a dozen locations on the west coast, strung between Torridon in the north and Ardrishaig in the south. And your journey will end when you reach the eastern seaboard between Fraserburgh and Arbroath. Between those chosen points in the months prior, you'll plan your own routes, which will be checked by experienced vetters. You can plan a high or low-level route, or one that blends both. That flexibility, combined with the vast and varied geographical area available, is one of the challenge's unique attractions. Many challengers return year after year. Some plan entirely new routes, some repeat favourite sections. You're free to choose. The challenge is a backpacking event. You'll need to carry everything on your back, including food and shelter, but it's up to you whether you camp all the way across or use a mixture of camping, hostels and B&Bs. The extraordinary hospitality offered by many establishments has become legendary over the event's 30-plus years. The challenge demands a good level of competence in navigation, survival techniques, campcraft and general hillcraft. It's also renowned for its sociability and camaraderie, and you'll always find fellow challengers willing to help in any way they can. The event is restricted to 300 participants, and entry forms can be found in the October issue of the Great Outdoors magazine every year.
Hello, it's Tuesday night and I'm pitched up in the spot that Humphrey and I use quite a lot in the Fetteresso Forest. Nice, broad, dry, grassy piece of land, close to a stream with clean water. It's a bit tussocky, but you can usually find a good pitch, and with the help of an inflatable mat like a Neo Air, it doesn't really present too many problems. Today's walk was a reasonably straightforward one. We left the Fookside campsite in relative sunshine, trotted down the lane to the little delightful little hamlet of Strachan, and then began our climb into the Fetteresso itself. And I've talked about this walk before, but it's the approach from the north really does give you the best of the forest, I think. The small tracks and paths that give access to this are really delightful in parts. And it has that lovely pine smell that you get in Caledonian Forest, not over exploited at all. We then had our lunch at the lovely little stream. It's kind of almost like a kind of ideal picnic spot on a little dingly dell in a place called North Donnelly's, where challengers have taken to camping in recent years. But I noticed this year a lot of new tree saplings have been put in. So whether that's because of that, I don't know. But it's certainly not going to be a place that's as attractive for camping in the future as it was. Still, it's still a good picnic place. And today we were rather spoilt for choice because Humphrey had purchased some prime rump steak in Braemar and proceeded to cook steak sandwiches for lunch, and they were very, very fine indeed. A great way to, I suppose, celebrate the beginning of the end of the challenge, as this feels as if it is. And from there, it's a relatively short walk, an hour and a half or so, to our campsite. So there's Humphrey and myself, there's Jeff, and there's William, who we met, of course, at the beginning at the Lakaiat Inn. He's with us. Just the four of us, and sitting, just looking out at the tent for those walkers that approach the Fetoresso from Charbothy. They usually come through a little bit later than us, but we haven't seen anybody else this evening, and we're on our own, so maybe the Fetoresso is not quite as important as it once was. So that's us, and tomorrow it's a reasonably short day. We like to prolong things a bit by taking a walk around the perimeter of the forest, not the fastest way out, but it does mean that we leave the forest at a point that's only about 40 minutes from the coast, so it minimises the amount of road walking that we have to do. And also it preserves that sense of walking in the forest, which is really quite delightful. It gets a bad rap, the Fetoresso. It's actually a rather beautiful place on its own, in its own terms. And although in recent years there's been a bit of work here to put up new wind turbines, and you do see them from time to time, they're not particularly obtrusive. This is a working forest, logging and so on. But all that work now seems to have been finished, and the forest is very much as it was when I first saw it about 5 years ago. So we're just lying here now, taking in the last of the afternoon sunshine, beginning to cook our food. So tomorrow morning it'll be the quick run through to Stonehaven. If the weather's nice, there'll be ice cream on the beach. And then the bus into Montrose, and all the fun and partying will begin at the Park Hotel. See you then.
Finally, the moment had arrived for the interviews to begin. It wasn't that people had been avoiding us, merely that the timing or the weather had been poor and just prevented the moment from happening naturally. The Tarfside community allowed the challengers to camp on the sports field in front of the few houses and cottages which go to make up the metropolis. Over the few days of the challenge, more than 100 tents come and go. Most of us recognise that this is the last camp we will do in relative tranquility, and the general mood of the challengers is twofold. A feeling of accomplishment and achievement for having made it this far in one piece, and the anticipation and contemplation that the reality of normal life is only a couple of days away at the East Coast. I want to speak with first-timers this year if I could, in particular overseas visitors, as it's sometimes good to see our country through their eyes and remind ourselves of the treasures we often take for granted. Sharing the company of experienced challenger Rob Slade, we found overseas first-timer Steve Chesterton from Kansas. His friend Block Andrews, also from Kansas, who had joined him for the last few days, and Peter Stickler, another first-timer from Bristol.
First time to Scotland, yes.
And what are your overriding impressions of both Scotland and this crazy event?
Scotland, just the beauty of it, and the it's larger than I imagined it to be.
As in higher or
yeah,
wider?
The landscape and the mountains and just the breadth of the land, it's beautiful. And of this event, the support, the great advice I was able to get from the forums, people have been very friendly and helpful. A lot of help from the vetters and people on the site. So it's been nice because it's been easy to get help and answers to questions that I had.
So how did you hear about the event in the first place?
Well, I've been working to lighten my kit over the years, and last year I went to the ZPAX website and was looking to buy a tent there, a Cuban tent, and had seen that it said that if you sent them any emails, that I think it said Joe and Matt would be off to the TGO, and I clicked, and it, but the TGO was a link, so I clicked it and started reading about it, and I thought, I want to do that. Mm. And then I thought, how can I get my wife to say okay? So, I told her about it, and she read it, and she said, "I was telling you guys that." She said, "That sounds like you," and I thought, "I'm in." Right. So then I waited till the time to come around, and I sent in my application, and here I am.
Oh, excellent, yeah. Excellent. Yeah. And has it been the challenge that you anticipated it that it would be from the ground and the area you've had to cover?
Yeah. When I posted, I posted a very initial route on the website and got a lot of good feedback. And a couple of people said, "You need to." They gave me links to your 2012 crossing. Okay. They said that's a good introduction to what you can expect. And then also looked at Alan Sloan's website for his 2012 crossing, which was recommended. And I read both of those, and so I felt like I had a pretty good idea that you could expect to get wet, run into the cold, get some nice days, but that you have a number of, it's challenging. Mm. And your video made that pretty clear from when I watched your site. So I can't say that the weather was a surprise, but I've really tried to just enjoy every day and just take one day at a time as far as getting to our destination. And whether it's been sunny or the sunny days have been a special bonus, but whether it's been sunny or whether it's been oscillating cold or snow, I've just enjoyed the camaraderie at times. The camaraderie and the experience.
The so gross,
it's been wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, the gross,
I really can't say I've had a bad day. I mean, I've had really tired feet.
Yeah.
And last night, some really, really tired feet. But I think we did, over 30K yesterday, but some road pounding. But otherwise, just it's been great. It's been a terrific experience and beautiful and got a lot of great pictures and have had a great time.
So for your fellow compatriots and anybody else interested in from the area that you're from and your circle, what would you say to them to encourage to look at it as an event?
Do your homework. Make sure that it's something that you want to sign up for, because it's not. The weather can be a challenge, but if you've got experience and you know what to expect, then I would say it'd be a highly recommended experience. Terrific time. And something that you should seriously take a look at. But just make sure you know what you're signing up for. Mm. You don't want to have a bad time of it. But if you know what to expect and you've done your homework, then I think that it would be an excellent experience. Mm. And really quite a difference than the places I've gone to in the U.S. and in the Rockies, in Colorado, and in up in Wyoming. It's quite a different environment, in a word. So. Absolutely something to think about.
So the diversity then, and the diversity of landscape, has that been a challenge for yourself?
Well, actually, I just joined him today. So I kind of got involved with Steve's daughter and my daughter are the same age, so they're buddies. And so Steve said, "Hey, I'm looking at doing this." And so when he said yes, I said, "Well, I'll join you for part of it. I can't join the whole 2 weeks, but I'll hook up with you." So I've hooked up here, and I think it's awesome. So I'd like to find out more about it.
Oh, so actually, you're not officially on the Challenge of Sets then?
I am joining him for a couple of days.
Oh, right. So, that's a soft. Yeah. That's a soft introduction.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. But it's my second time in Scotland, and I of course wanted to come back. I'm a MacDonald, so little Scottish blood in me. So. Mm. Needed to come back to the homeland.
Excellent. Yeah. Good. If I could move across to yourself, as a first-timer from another foreigner, from Brizzle.
All the way.
Yeah. What do you reckon the challenge is then? Is it the miles? Is it the distance? Is it the terrain? Or is it the mental stickability to keep going at it?
I don't think it's any of those. I think it's the great camaraderie you have when you're here. And but having said that, I enjoyed planning my route. I enjoyed moving away from my plan. I enjoyed, as I say, all the people I've met and getting on with it. And the countryside is just fantastic. And I've just learnt quite a few things, especially about weight, which seemed to be a bit of a problem at the start. 17 kilos was a lot. But you drag it around for a bit, and then you start chucking away like mad, and that was good.
Yeah.
And I've just enjoyed the whole thing. I'm sure it's something I'll come back to. I really enjoyed it.
You can see how it can be addictive, can't you? Something like this, it sort of starts to get into your system.
Yeah, it's incredibly addictive. I mean, the people you meet, you keep re-meeting them, and you just roll along, and it helps you to move through the countryside as well. I spent a couple of days on my own as well during the challenge, and I've enjoyed that as well. Mm. So it's been all positive as far as I see so far, and I'd certainly like to try and do it again.
Well, the weather's been good this year. It's been good to start with a few warm days to sort of get you into the hills, isn't it, really, and before you start sort of roughing it.
Yeah, those couple of days at the start where it was really warm, nearly down to a T-shirt and what have you, and then it was a little bit wet. And that was okay. So you're into the swing of it then, and you weren't going to duck out by that time. Mm. So you have to keep going, and it has to be something you really want to do. I don't think if you came on it on a whim, you'd get very far. I mean, I enjoyed doing the planning. The planning was good fun, trying to work out what your route was, because although I've been to Scotland in the past, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not one of these people who are really au fait with Scotland, and so it was good from that point of view to try and make as much use of other people's knowledge and what have you.
Mm. Well, there's certainly plenty more information now on the internet and videos and so on about where to camp. You can look at the map, and it looks like that'll be a fantastic place to camp. And then you get there, and it's just nothing but bog. You know, it's a lot of information around, isn't there?
There is indeed a lot of information, and I would say that I was a little bit poor in actually making use of all that information, but I'm still sort of a booky sort of person rather than the webby sort of person.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't make as much use of all the materials available, but I still like a map and still look like studying it and still like trying to make the most of it.
Cool, thanks. Okay, rapid fire questions. Best piece of kit, worst piece of kit?
Best piece of kit, my down pants. Let me go lighter on the sleeping bag, and they've just been what you can get out of the bag, walk around in them, they've been great, and they're a fashion statement as well.
Good.
Worst piece of kit. God, what worst piece of kit?
Doesn't have such a thing.
Gosh,
everything has been so perfect.
What don't I like? Well, I can't think of anything.
No, well, that's good. That's good. So everything you've brought, you've used, and you're happy with everything?
I think so. I'm having a hard time thinking of anything.
Okay, I'll leave that one with you. I'm going to Brizzle. And best bit, worst bit?
My best bit is my sleeping bag. Good PhD, so that was a nice sleeping bag. My worst thing is probably, and most ridiculed, is probably my plastic spoon.
Okay. Everybody's liked.
Not this one.
No, okay.
Don't ever accept a freebie, I tell you.
It's a ladle, it's not a spoon.
Oh, right, okay. I'm the man who's got an appetite. Okay, next one. Highest point and your lowest point, emotionally.
Highest point, when we came into the Finnhorn Valley, and it was the sun came out, and it was just glorious. Lowest point was when we decided to press on beyond Chulain of Mark. We got up to the top of Muckalkaren, and it started snowing like crazy.
Horizontal stuff.
Yeah, I have another word, but I'm going to keep it clean.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was probably the low point when we realized that it might have been nice to stay at Chulain of Mark, but I think it all worked out well.
Great, thanks. Yourself?
Low point would be when we were coming out of Domond Glass, and the we hit all the works for the wind turbines up there. That was pretty terrible. But then going down into the Findhorn Valley, then things just changed. It was absolutely brilliant. That was really great. And that was a high point, I think. Although after that, everything was high.
Well, I'm back again. It's a bit later now on Tuesday evening. There's a real reflective, contemplative feel about this little group of four of us, now joined by one other, so a group of five. We all, I think, ate easily early, and now everybody's quiet, sitting there, I suspect, just reflecting back on the highlights of the last 2 weeks, the moments of euphoria, the stunning countryside, the difficult treks across hard, difficult country, the fight against the wind, the fight against the rain, and so on. And so it is that another challenge comes to an end, I guess. We have to walk into Stonehaven on the coast tomorrow. But this, I always feel, for me, is the beginning of the readjustment back into what some would say is the real world, but others would like to think is a more natural state, or at least more natural state of empathy with the world around us. We're not in particularly wild land at the moment, but the birds are still tweeting away. Rain is falling gently against the fly sheet. There's a sound of the stream at the bottom of our field, and the wind gently brushing through the conifers. The wind has been a constant theme of this challenge, certainly the last week or so. A cold, icy east wind that really means it's, even when it's sunny, it's not been that pleasant to sit outside. So here we are now, all thinking back about the highlights. There's no conversation here. People are just letting their limbs recover. And I guess just thinking about the beginning of the real end of the TGO Challenge 2015.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear more from our extensive free library, please visit the website at theoutdoorstation.co.uk. Join us next time as the journey across Scotland continues on the TGO Challenge.